This, she said, this is my spiritual peace. She was my daughter, and the piece was a piece of artwork that she had painted and hung in a gallery for some time, and I was sitting in on an online class that my daughter, Laura, was teaching. She had a sample of her work for those who had registered for this class, and they vary from cats and dogs and people to woods and scenic views, and it's kind of like watching Picasso's transition from one period to another. They're all so very different, but she described this painting as the one that reflected her spirituality. I was somewhat taken aback because that piece of art is hanging over our mantelpiece. And I'd never looked at it quite that way before. But she went on to describe this painting, that the couch, the sofa that is portrayed in the bottom third of this painting, was the same couch that my father lay on early Sunday mornings before dawn to process what he would say in his sermon. Mind you, that same couch has been recovered two or three times, and in this painting, it was due for another recovering because the dog had discovered there was foam and, you know, the fuzz that could be dug out of the cushions. It was a total mess, and it looked like a derelict couch. But the detail was absolutely exquisite. In fact, I have it on my phone. If the line doesn't get too long, I'll share it with everybody if you want to see it. So she went on to say that the couch situated underneath the window is a view into the next world. I'd never heard my daughter talk quite like this before, but she said, it's ajar, as if she referred to him as her grandfather, had passed on from this world into the next, and the light beyond the window, through the blinds and the sheer curtain, is almost blinding. It's a beautiful green, bright green color, and there's a sort of a fuzzy shape off through the blinds in the distance, as if it was out of focus. This is my spiritual painting, she said. Well, I'll just confess to you, I have a sermon chair, and this morning I'm sitting in that chair looking at that painting and go, of course it is. That's the spiritual painting. It is the image of that thin place between this world where we get things done, where the dog chews on the furniture, and through that thin glass cranking window into a bright light. And there was something that I noticed it some time ago, but it all makes sense. That the blurry image in the background is a house across the street. You could look at that painting many times and never even notice that it is a house on the other side. That is her spiritual painting, showing the connection between this world and the next, that thin place where God seems more present. I love the painting. And just so you know, it's 4 by 6 feet tall. It's huge. And exquisitely detailed in the foreground and intriguingly blurry in the background. Like our own image of this world and the next. Just a pane of glass separating us from this life and the next. Isn't it interesting that we can have something in front of us and not see the detail for a long time? And now, of course, I can't not see through the blinds in that painting to the house beyond and wonder what that represents in my life. Perspective is interesting, how we don't see something until it's pointed out. many of us have been celebrating the joy of Christmas this week. We had a spectacular celebration with the children at 5 on Wednesday night and a reverent liturgy at 7 o'clock. And I tried my hand at chanting the liturgy, so apologies if necessary, at 10 o'clock. And we had a liturgy early at 10 o'clock on Christmas Day. At St. John's, Christmas was celebrated, the birth of Christ. It is a spectacular opportunity for us to honor not only what happens in Scripture in Christ becoming a God becoming a child in Luke 2 and the beautiful story, you will find him lying in a manger, to say the angels. We also celebrated with our own family traditions, or recollections of those traditions, or decorations that indicate a joy of this season and our affection for it. The gospel today has very little connection to the narrative that we heard in Luke's gospel, where we learn about sheep and ox and angels and shepherds and hay and Joseph and Mary. In today's gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. It is that thin veil, according to John, between this world and then God's world. And the one who came through that veil is the one who became flesh, Jesus. Throughout Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, there are fascinating examples of God's breaking through to reveal his nature, his love, his chastisement of his people. Again and again, Noah was shown the ark, and what to do with it, and he salvaged the creation in this ark and went on his way. And when he came back, you have to wonder a little bit, what did he do after the flood? Abraham, what did he do after God sent an angel, the angels of God sent a ram to supply the sacrifice instead of Abraham's only son, Isaac? What did Sarah do after she got news that she was to have that child? And at age 98, I told that story to my mother the other day, who will be 98 next month, and she didn't laugh. Again and again through Scripture, God makes his will known, and people are transformed. But we don't hear a lot about how their lives were transformed, how it made a difference, how that new perspective on God and on themselves made a difference in their life. I've often wondered what happened to the blind man at Siloam. I've often wondered about the man who was lame, lowered through the rooftop by his friends for Jesus to heal. I've wondered about the man who was raised from the dead, Lazarus, called out from the grave. God revealing himself, his nature, and his love. When the disciples at Pentecost received the gift of the Holy Spirit, singeing their already receding hairlines, they went on to receive a strength and a power and a clarity about the message of God. But we know little about how they saw the world after that. There's some accounts in the book of Acts, but the reason I ponder this is because we have this manger, we have this story, we have heard it at Christmas. We have received a glimpse of God's nature and a message of his love. Now what? Now what? How does that shape your perspective on the world. How do you look at the world differently? How do you see through, like my daughter's paintings, those blinds and see, oh, there it is. I see it now. I see more clearly. I think that God has put us each into situations in our lives where He is present, where He has a message about who He is and the love He has for us. We don't always see it. That my daughter's painting was hanging on that over the mantelpiece for 6 years before I saw the house in the background. Sometimes we have to hear our story over and over before we understand what God is really urging us to understand about Him. That He created us out of love, that He created us through love, that He created us for love, and that He calls us out in the world not to worry about being adequate or worthy of love, but knowing that He has already determined that. How does that make a difference? God's incarnation as a child in a manger was His ultimate gift, that you and I might find evidence of God in everything in creation, every one in creation, and to know that we are loved and that creation and all of God's people are deeply loved. So now what? Does that mean that we're called to go out into the world and do something differently? I would say yes. Most definitely. Glory to God in the highest and peace to His people on earth. Whatever it is that you proclaim, to know that God has loved you and God has loved the people in your life, people in your neighborhood, people throughout the world, that God is calling us to a position of love above all things. You'll have to pardon me, I try not to read because I get lost when I read something, but including my own notes. The collect today is that you have poured out on us, O God, the new light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light enkindled in our hearts may shine forth to our lives. Richard Rohr, a Catholic monk and spiritualist, lives in New Mexico, has described Christology, and that's another $10 word in our liturgical ecclesiastical format. Ecclesiology is merely talk about Christ. It is our, how do we understand Christ's nature? And Richard Rohr says that by becoming incarnate, by becoming a human and living in our midst, suffering and celebrating as humans, God has blessed life in such a way that when we experience joy and fear, the vulnerabilities and the joys of our own life, Christ is present. Christ is in that. Christ is with us. The author of A Wrinkle in Time, Madeleine Lingle, once wrote in a memoir, she was actually attributing it to Noel Coward, the playwright, who was a social friend of her and her husband's. He had said this at dinner table, and she loved it so much, she accredited it to him in her memoir. He told her over dinner, he said, when he met his wife for the first time, his wife-to-be for the first time, that bread never tasted the same as when he broke it with her, and that wine was never as sweet and life-giving as when he shared it with her. She changed his life. She changed how he perceived life. And something as mundane and normal as bread and wine became, for him, sacramental. Madeline Lingle, a spiritual writer, says, yeah, but that's Eucharistic. That's Jesus talk. That is all about Christ. And when Christ gives of himself, nothing looks the same. Christ is given of himself in Christmas. And nothing looks the same to those who would recognize it and proclaim it and be transformed for the sake of the Word, which was made flesh. Nothing is the same. Amen. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church in the world. Almighty and ever-living God, who in the Holy Word, In peace we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work. For this community, the nation, and the world. For the just and proper use of your creation. For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble. For the peace and unity of the Church of God. For Sean, our presiding bishop, Glenda and Brian, our bishops, Duncan and Mark, our priests, for Stuart, our seminarian, and for all bishops and other ministers. For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, especially Rick Durden, Marla Foster, Dave Funk, Carolyn Fillmore, Emily Crump Johannes, Karma Marks, Richard McCrory, Pat McDonald, Eddie McDonald, Martha Collier Mosley, Cameron Napier, Bud Nason, Elizabeth Porter, Shirley Price, Hawthorne Ramsey, Debbie Steindorf, Barbara Wallace, and Florence Young. Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all those who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom, especially those for whom the altar flowers have been given. Leonard Sewell McCarroll, Olive Jackson McCarroll, Jackson C. McCarroll, Eloise McCarroll Matthews, E. Judkins Matthews Sr., E. Judkins Matthew Jr., Betty Cooper Matthews. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Who put their trust in you.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Amen. Stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you. You will have noticed that our rector is not here with us this morning. He is on a well-deserved break with his wife, Galend, and we wish them a restful time. As we could go through this week, I would ask you to remember in your prayers the Diocese of Alabama as we are preparing to elect the successor for our Bishop, Glenda Curry. The candidates will be presented to the delegates for I've heard it called a dog and pony show. That doesn't sound right, but there'll be an opportunity for the Reverend Candace Frazier, known to many of you, as well as Richard Lawson, of the Dean of the Cathedral in Denver, Colorado. Those are the two candidates that are currently on the ballot, and they will be presented to the delegates for questions and answers and interaction this coming Saturday. The election will be at the Cathedral in Birmingham on January 24th. We will be having an event on the 6th of January, our Feast of Lights. There's more information in the bulletin, as well as anything else that Duncan would want to make sure you know about that I know less about. So, friends, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Mary brought to Bethlehem more than all the
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because you gave Jesus, your only Son, to be born for us, who, by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, was made perfect man of the flesh of the Virgin Mary, his mother, so that we might be delivered from the bondage of sin and receive power to become your children. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. You have fed us with spiritual food in the sacraments of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Go now and give praise for all God has done for you. Put your trust in Christ, weep over the world's grief and suffering, and with Christ offer yourselves to God for the healing of the world. And may God give you strength and glory. May Christ Jesus be proud to call you his brothers and sisters. And may the Holy Spirit lift you up and carry you onward. Amen. Please stand. Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.